has given us, to listen to his word. We continue to depend on him for his strength and for his wisdom. So let's open the scriptures to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we've been seeing the message that Peter is giving the church. He is aware that he is going to die and he wants to strengthen the church. And one of the things that, you know, he felt important to remind the church is there were people who were scoffing at the church, who were telling them, you guys have been saying Jesus is coming back. When is he coming back? This God of yours, is he really coming or is not coming? Is he real or not real? And you know, there are always these concerns that God is slow. You know, but what we understand from the scriptures is that God is not slow concerning his promise. No, there is a patience that God has, that he desires that every man be saved. He desires that men hear him before, you know, instead of rather him acting judgment on them. There is a mercy of God concerning his times, his seasons, and what we think are delays to God are not delays. They're just divine orchestrations that God, by which God ensures he puts things in order, and his value, God's greatest value, is man. And that's what we must understand from what the teaching says. When we read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." You know, when he's speaking this, he's trying to show that, look here, you know, whenever we think about doctrine and the Bible, you must always understand that the Old Testament was already, by this time, the disciples had the Old Testament. You know, the Septuagint, which was the Hebrew translation that was done in, the translation of the Bible that was done into Greek, it was about by 70 scholars, so it was called the Septuagint. This book was what was available to that world. So they had the scriptures. They had the commandments of the Old Testament. But then he says that, look here, you have not only the word was spoken by the holy prophets, but you also have what has been given to you as commandments by the apostles. So in essence, he was trying to say that if you want to succeed in this walk, in your Christian walk, you have the two sources of scripture. You have the Old Testament and you also have the writings of the apostles. And that is why whenever you see the New Testament, you see that this, one of the criteria that were used, you know, to acknowledge that this is a book that should be in the canon of the Bible, is that it was written by an apostle. It was written by an apostle or someone who was closely associated or who was closely with an apostle. So you can see Peter, you can see John, you can see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, the book of Acts, all this, and even Paul is an apostle, is one who has seen Jesus. So by virtue of them being the apostles of the Lamb, the ones who had the teachings from Jesus, you know, when Jesus expounded for 3.5 years, he was with them, and even after he left, he continued to speak to them and teach them things pertaining to the kingdom by the Holy Spirit. So we can see that for their words to have authority, actually one of the criteria they would use is, was this written by someone who was an apostle or someone who was closely living with the apostles and is able to testify? For example, Luke was closely with Paul in the voyages and in the missionary journeys, and so he is an authority, and that is why we have the book of Luke and we have the book of Acts. And so when you think about it that way, so he's trying to tell them, at least what I can assure you is you have the two sources of scripture. Remember, he had earlier said that we have the sure prophetic word by which we do well to take hold of it. So the sure prophetic word is the scripture. So he's saying you can see that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, and reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Just take a pause there, and you can see that there is already, he's telling the church, there are guys who are going to come, they are called scoffers. And scoffers are so many today. They discredit the gospel. They ask funny questions. In fact, I saw someone, a former schoolmate, just posting, hey, Christians, are you still waiting for the coming of Jesus? And you know, it's to them, they're enjoying it. It's something that they're enjoying at scoffing at the return of Jesus. Yet to them, it appears like it's just fake stories and things like that. But these are the realities of God, and this is what the Bible has already warned us, that you know what, the last days you're going to have such kind of people, such kind of scoffers, who are still going to question, when is the Lord coming? Who are going to think that your God is late, your God was just lying, you're just wasting your time. But you see, these people, they do that because they are walking according to their own lusts. Remember, if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. The end result of sowing to the flesh is destruction. But you can see the gift of life. There's a promise of life. There's a blessing of God, that when you have it, when you have met him, then it will not matter the time, the earthly time that it takes to be completed. But you have an assurance within you that God has had you, that God is in charge of your life, that God is going to intervene, that you're going to complete that which he has started in you, because he is God. So he sees, for them, the scoffers, they say, from the beginning of time, time has been. You know, the cycles are there, the seasons are there. There's going to be rain, there's going to be summer, there's going to be winter. We live, we die, the cycle continues. When is your God coming? That is a big question. Yet they forget that it was just like this. It was just like an ordinary day in the days of Noah, when all of a sudden the rain began to pour. And then the Bible says, and God shut them in the ark. So Noah, his family, his sons, and they were able to be preserved, and their wives were able to be preserved, because it happened in an instant. The reality is, even today, there are people who are already preparing. There are those, you know, when you read the conspiracies, when you hear, you'll understand that they say that rich people have already prepared bunkers. They've already prepared the spaceships that when the world starts to be destroyed, they will just take off somewhere else. Or they will be able to hide and survive, you know, whether it's nuclear issues and all that. And the question you ask yourself, is it really possible that people are going to do this? Yes, people are prepared, because to them, they're like, well, we have read from the scriptures, the world is going to be destroyed. But you see, in that time, the Bible tells us, people will cry to the mountains, you hide me. The mountains will run away. People will look for death. In the days of great tribulation, people will look for death, but death will run away from them. Why? Because they rejected the truth. The Bible says these people, they go because they have rejected knowledge of God and of the Holy One. God hands them over to a depraved mind to do things that are not right, to do things that they were not supposed to do. Even humanly speaking, if someone was to ask them, but where is the rationale for this? They don't have it, or they're explaining it, but they clearly know that this is out of order. In those days, the earth was destroyed out of water, and now God has said he's going to destroy it by fire. Everything is going to melt. Everything is going to melt, you know. But the question is, are we ready, or we are just, you know, living, believing what the scoffers are saying? Look at verse 8, it says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack, or is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that they all should come to repentance." What we interpret as the slowness of God is just the mercy of God. People think, God is slow. God is taking his time to act. Where is God? Why is God not punishing these people? You know, someone will be like, these people are evil. God should punish them. That's how it starts. That's how people think. They think that, you know, when God says one day, but yet to God, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. To God, what is time? You know, what time is just an aspect of man. But what God matters most to God is man. He desires man. In fact, I was listening to one of the pastors, and he was saying that God gave him a vision of the rapture. And as people were ascending into heaven, and then, you know, people were coming to Jesus one by one, and then all of a sudden, Jesus saw him. It's like Jesus was like looking for people, you know, like he's gathering the people, then he's looking, and then eventually saw him. I say, there you are, Chris, you know, Chris Delvan, there you are. I'm happy you're here. You know, he was just saying there was such a love that God is so vast that even when we'll be going to heaven, he'll be looking for you. Did you make it? He'd be happy that you made it. And beyond that, even though there are 1 million or 3 million people called Peter, when he calls you Peter, you will know that he's calling you, and every other Peter will know that it's not them. At that very moment, God is able to receive each and every one of us. If he knows every hair strand that falls from our head at any point, what is it that to tell us that God does not have the capacity to love each and every one of us uniquely? And you know, when you think about that, you can know that God is patient for every man. The Bible tells us that God does not delight in the death of a wicked man, but that rather they change, rather they turn to the truth. If we can, God can give us his heart, the heart of flesh that is able to understand the mind of God, the heart of God for men. The heart of God for men is transformation, is that Christ be formed in them. God desires that Christ be formed in every man. And the more we hear him, the more we obey him, the more we understand him, then we can, you know, walk in these truths and walk in this fullness. So you can see he says that God is long-suffering to us. God is patient. He does not desire, he's not willing that any man should perish, but they should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord, this day that they are crying for, this day that they are saying, hey, when is your God coming? When is Jesus coming back? You Christians are still waiting for the coming of the Lord, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So the scriptures are very clear. This world that as we know it is going to be destroyed by fire. After he had destroyed it by water in the times of Noah, God made a promise that never again will he destroy the earth with water or with such a flood. But then, now in final judgment is fire. And the Bible says all these things that we see, heaven and earth, will pass away, you know, because it will happen suddenly, you know, like a thief in the night when men don't expect it. If anyone had known when the thief is coming, people would have prepared. They would have been ready. They would not have slept. But since thieves do not come when anyone expects it, it's the same way the Lord Jesus will come at a time when we least expect it. It might even be when we are sleeping. It might be when we are awake. It might be when we are driving. It might be when we are swimming. It might be when we are working. At each and every moment, we must always bear eternity in mind, that at any moment, God will consider that the gospel of the kingdom has been preached to all the world. Because that is the marker of the end of the world. The Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. So it is not even those wars and rumors of war that will happen. No. It is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. So we can hasten his coming. Look at what he's saying. That so therefore we can hasten his coming. What manner of persons can we be? God wants you to stay holy, behave holy, let you have holy conduct and godliness as you look forward to. You know the way the Bible in Revelation speaks that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And then they say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly. There is a hastening that each and every man must continually cry out to God. God, come quickly. Save us from this wicked world. You know, deliver us. Take us to that eternal bliss, to that presence, to your presence where we know you, where we shall be known and fully known, where we shall receive a name that is uniquely ours. There is a name that God will give each and every believer, a name that only they themselves know. That's the beauty of our God. That's the beauty of our God. And it's calling us to godliness, holiness, hastening, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, of which these things will be dissolved with fire. And then the Bible says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. This earth will pass away. This heavens, as we know, it will pass away. There's a new heaven and a new earth. A new heavenly Jerusalem will come upon the new heaven and the new earth. And that's where God says, behold, I am making all things new. All things will be made new. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. There's a diligence. Remember, he's the man of diligence. Make every diligence to add to your faith goodness, gentleness, character. You know, add to your faith all these things. If you add to your faith all these things, patience, you know, love, then you will bear fruit. You will not be barren and short-sighted. He says, be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. We can only be found blameless and without spot in Christ. It is only Christ that washes our sins, that cleanses us. This is not a work that we can do on our own. No, it is a spirit-aided work of holiness. It's a spirit-empowered work of righteousness. God calls us to walk with him, to walk in him, and to be found in him. And the Bible says, verse 15, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. The patience of our Lord is salvation. The patience that we expect, that we see God demonstrating for us, is salvation. And he says, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. So you can see finally Peter acknowledges Paul. They already gave him the right hand of fellowship. They know, and he can say, hey, by the way, there was a wisdom that Paul taught. And he says, verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So there's a warning, you know, he's telling them that even Paul has spoken about this end of the world, that these are the things that are happening, these are the things that will happen, and this is the wisdom that God gave him. And the Bible says, although many people have twisted the words of Paul, they have twisted the messages of grace that Paul taught, and they have used them for their own destruction. And then the Bible says they also do the same with the rest of the scriptures. Anytime you get to a point where people discredit scripture, oh, they will discredit the Old Testament. Ah, you cannot apply the Old Testament here. You know, what, that this one was Old Testament. You need to ask yourself, in the apostles, when they were preaching and teaching, what scriptures did they have? They used the Old Testament. Even on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches, he says this is what the prophet Joel wrote. So if anyone who argues such is, they don't understand. They don't understand the context. They don't understand that the scriptures that the believers had, the early church had, was only the Old Testament. In fact, there are, I don't know how many quotes, direct quotes of the Old Testament that are in the New Testament, that clearly shows that the disciples taught from the Old Testament. Even Jesus himself taught from the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus, in his words, in his sayings, everything was linked to the Old Testament, because that was the instruction that God had given by that point. After Christ came, then he became the Word. He became the one that we can understand, we can hear. That's why he will tell them that it was said of you this, but I tell you this. Why? Because he is now the authority. God is the authority. Christ is the authority. And so he says, so people can want to twist the scriptures. They can want to do it, you know, to excuse certain things, but just know that they are doing it for their own destruction. What God wants you to do is to stand firm. Stand firm in the truth. Verse 17, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall away from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So you see, there's a warning. Don't fall away from your own steadfastness. You know these things. No teachers are going to come. False teachers are going to come. Scoffers are going to come. You know, you need to wait for the hastening and hasten the coming of our Lord. But all these things, since you know this, do not fall away from your steadfastness. Continue. Persist. Persist in the things of God, not by might, not by power. Just tell God every day, God, I need your strength. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your ability. If I was to do it on my own, I will collapse. If I was to do it on my own strength, I will fall apart. God hears such prayers. And he is always ready to strengthen us. And that's why he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us grow in the things of God. Let us grow in knowing him. Let us grow in the mercy of God, in the grace of God, in the enablement of God. Because if we grow, then we will be able to stand in the day of judgment. The Bible says, if you fall in the day of adversity, how weak is your strength? That means that God expects us to have built our strength, that when the day of trouble comes, you can stand, you can lift up the weights, you can be able to stay firm. And all this is not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. And that's why he says to him, the glory both now and forever. Amen. I'll stop here, and I pray that God gives us insight. Brother, you're welcome if you have any reflections. Okay, there's none. We're going to pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. Thank you for your love, that you are not slow, that you have loved us. You call us to be found blameless and without spot in you, in peace, O God. I thank you. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our understanding. May we be found faithful, O God. Where we have failed, you show us mercy, O God. Where we've lost your way, your voice, O God, cleanse us, O God, purify us. We need you each and every day. We need to walk with you, O God. Help us. Help us to hear from you. Help us to be guided by you. Help us to be led by you, O God. May your name be exalted and be magnified. Direct our steps. Watch over us. Be our shield. Be our portion. Be our all in all. We bless your name and we adore you. We thank you and we give you glory. Remember our families. Be with them and direct them. Strengthen and watch over them. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Shalom. Have a blessed morning and day ahead.